Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Kate Loving Shank, and Joan Adams and I host the show. Mary McManus, a.k.a. Graceful Lady, is our guest this evening, and our topic is poetry in motion. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, dear Joan.
Hello, Kate.
And hello, dear Mary. There's Mary.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Mary.
How are you, my dear friends?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
How about you?
I'm just great. You can hear the smile in my voice. I just love you guys so much, and thank you so much for having me back again.
Oh,
well,
that was
our pleasure. Yeah. Well, I'm excited about motion in general. I think keeping ourselves active and moving is one thing, but how is poetry assessing of motion? You let us know what that means to you.
Well, when I was first diagnosed with post-polio syndrome, oh my God, it's almost 4 years ago now, I can't believe it, my body was immobilized, but what happened was my spirit started flying free, and what happened was I was imagining and visualizing my body moving, and it came out in the poetry that I was writing.
Oh.
So was it like a translation? You would translate the motion into poetry.
Well, what I can do is I brought up the first poem that I wrote,
mm-hmm.
and that will... Actually, I'm just going to read a portion of it. The whole thing is on marymcmanus.com along with all the poems I wrote on the road to the Boston Marathon. But in the first poem that I wrote, I talk about my journey with polio and then the diagnosis of post-polio and how I was really miserable. And then I wrote, using wheelchair to travel, set limits on what I could do, resulted in joy to realize I could live life anew. I celebrated my body, creaks, groans, and need for a brace, while in my mind I focused on winning a 10K race.
Mm-hmm. You can read the whole thing if you want to.
Oh, would you
I
like
love
me
it.
To? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I love it.
All right. Have you read this on my website?
I haven't seen it on the website, but I know that you may have given us some part of it or portion of it in the past.
Oh, okay. All right. So basically, before I read it, the poetry in motion is that even though my body wasn't doing anything, well, it was. It was just like the caterpillar in the cocoon. But outwardly, it wasn't able to do very much. I mean, like, I couldn't even walk up the stairs very well. And yet, I was writing this poetry about movement and motion and healing. And also was healing myself by finally feeling love for the first time for myself, and also just letting the catharsis go. Because Kate and Joan, we've talked about this on the prayer blog, about how we can get everything so bound up in ourselves and how it gets tied up in the body.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this is running the race. Oh, go ahead, Kate. I'm sorry.
It's just, I was going to say before you read it, it reminds me of the fact that just imagining what it is that you want your body to do will do wonders. Mm-hmm. It's just as effective as actually doing it or trying to do it or practicing. But doing it in your mind first is repetitively is very important.
Well, I think it's so funny because for years we've talked about imaging as a form of prayer. And then in the last, I would say, 5 years, I've seen more and more and more about the athletes using imaging. And even if you talk to our little Zach, who's a golfer at 7, but if you talk to Zach, he says he practices in his head.
Yeah.
Wow.
And why
does
he always say that, you know, that he does it in his head? He plays around in his head. But I think, you know, either the prayer folks were late catching on to something the athletes had always done,
mm-hmm.
or the prayer folks brought it to the forefront and the athletes jumped in. At any rate, it's effective. There's no question it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read something once, and I wish I could remember where, but and you said the same thing, was that the act of practicing a sport or doing anything in your mind was the same thing as actually doing it.
Yes, that's how I'm learning the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. just thinking about it and going through the movements in my mind as opposed to just getting up and trying to recklessly do it and becoming frustrated because it's, to me, when I sit down and imagine it, I know that I'm doing something very meaningful towards learning how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what all this poetry was doing. It was preparing
mm-hmm.
me, and it was helping me to heal. And they've done studies on athletes where they wire them, and they have them go through a race in their minds, and they discover that they trigger the same muscle groups, whether they're imagining it in their mind or they're out on the road.
Wow.
It's powerful stuff. It's powerful
yes,
stuff.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So I'll read this poem, and then I'm so eager to share with you guys what happened on Sunday, talking about the power of the mind and all that good stuff, and just also how God works through social media. But this is Running the Race, and it was written in February of 2007. Early summer 1959, my kindergarten year, everyone around me filled with nervous fear. Despite the soft vaccine, hope polio would disappear, the polio virus crept right up and knocked me in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing all around the gym, feeling free just like a bird, I dropped to the ground just like a stone, and no one said a word. The pain, it was so searing, the diagnosis even worse. It's polio, the doctor said. He was abrupt and terse. Called one of the lucky ones, I had a mild case, but with the other athletes, I could never keep their pace. Miss Holly, physical therapist, curly hair and a warm, broad smile. It tempered the pain of being apart, but to walk I'd take a while. I always wore those special shoes, the kids they poked and teased, with no support and much abuse. With childhood I wasn't pleased, but put nose to the grindstone and learned all that I could. I couldn't kick a ball, but my grades were always good. So years went by and no more thought to polio did I give. I accepted the limp and everything else and decided my life I would live. But symptoms of weakness and muscle pain did grow. I kept a stoic face, hoping no one else would know. Life no longer was my own. I struggled through each day, suffered in silence, isolated from friends, trying to keep depression at bay. And with the grace of glorious God, my world had opened wide. I discovered there was a post-polio team, and they were on my side. Using wheelchair to travel, set limits on what I could do, resulted in joy to realize that I could live life anew. Celebrated my body, creaks, groans, and need for a brace, while in my mind I focused on winning a 10K race. Sought out paths for healing, and my spirit flew free. For the first time in life, I could truly be me. The chains are gone, and possibilities abound. I'm a tree with my roots planted firmly in ground. I'm now off the sidelines, no need to sit and whine. So much gratitude fills my heart, and love and beauty shine. After all these years, I can join the loving human race. I exceed all expectations, and now I set the pace.
Oh.
I love that poem.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Tell me this.
Yeah.
How long were you in a wheelchair?
Well, I used, they recommended that I use the wheelchair for long distances. So I
okay.
wasn't in it full time. But like when I would go to the airport and stuff, or when we go grocery shopping, although actually I had stopped grocery shopping and we used the Peapod service to get groceries delivered. But I would use a scooter. You know, they have the scooter in the grocery stores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would use that to get around the grocery store, and any, you know, long distances that I needed to negotiate, I used the wheelchair. And actually, even now, when I travel, it's funny because when I have to stand in line, you know, waiting mm-hmm. for security and everything, that really fatigues me. Although, I got to tell you, with what's happening now, that's all transforming, so I'm not, you know, I'm just going to play everything by ear. But whenever I went to the airport, because standing in one place mm-hmm. would really result in fatigue. So, so that's when I would use a wheelchair, Joan.
Okay. And so you've used that in adulthood as well as in childhood.
Yeah, in childhood, actually, you know, in childhood, they didn't have me use a wheelchair.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I was either, initially I was carried around, and then I was in a full leg brace.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you could walk with that.
Yeah.
You could walk, yeah.
Yeah, with difficulty, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, they really pushed you to get moving, which, thank God, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, you know, I was reading this poem, and actually, it's so funny, I got goosebumps because the miracle of all of this still blows my mind because I wasn't a poet. I'm not trained as a poet. I certainly had never run in my life, and now I write poetry, and I'm a runner. And it's just, I'm just amazed. And this past Sunday, I mean, you guys know I've been in a lot of races. I ran the Boston Marathon, which was just a phenomenal experience. But every race that I've been in, every experience that I've had, absolutely nothing. And actually, the other runners, we've been talking on Twitter, there was something so magical that happened. Well, I can rewind to last year on Twitter. This guy whose moniker is really not a runner was training for the Boston Marathon. He won his he's a firefighter and EMT and everything, and he lost the most weight in the firehouse. They had a Biggest Loser at the firehouse. So he went from, like, I don't know how much he weighed, but he had lost all this weight and then started training for the Boston Marathon. So he said, oh, I'm really not a runner. And he was really struggling through his training, and so he was looking for inspiration on the web, and he found me. And so we connected, and then we actually met in February in person at, he was doing his first half marathon in Hyannis. I had a table there, and my husband was running the 10K. And we met, I met his beautiful wife and daughter, and we started talking, and he told me that he has this race called Lex's Run. His wife lives with adult onset muscular dystrophy, but like me, she believes that if we're going to manage our diagnoses, then we need to keep ourselves as healthy and fit and active as possible. So they started this run called Lex's Run to raise money for muscular dystrophy. They started it 3 years ago. Last year, she ran and raised money for miles. She ran the first year. The second year, it was an organized run. And they had 50 runners registered, and there were 37 who showed up. So Doug had told me about Lex's Run, and I said, oh, we, to my husband, you know, we've got to do this run. So then And while Doug at Really Not a Runner was tweeting with this other person at Eric_VMA, and Eric was doing a massage fundraiser for Doug, and I was really drawn to Eric's Twitter page. He was talking about what he does as a massage therapist, and his motto is making the world a better place one muscle at a time. And I was really drawn to that, and just sort of, you know how sometimes you're drawn to something and then you release it and you don't really process it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I got back into running because last October I had to take a hiatus and do some more healing. And my first road race this year was in June, and it was the Charles River Run 5K. And there was this guy there who was doing pre-race stretching and massage, and we didn't have enough time because there was a long line. And I said, excuse me, are you going to be here after the run? And he said, oh, yeah, no worries. So we finished the run, and it was a lot of fun, although very stressful. It was hot, and also it was my first road race, I think if not since the marathon, there might have been one other one. And so I went back to sort of having those jitters of here I am out on the roads again. So afterwards, I was really happy that I had done it and that, you know, I had finished and everything. And I went over to this person, and I said, you look so familiar. And I said, what's your name? And he said, Eric DiRico. And I said, do you know it really not a runner? He said, are you Graceful Lady? It was so funny.
Oh, I love
it
that.
It was so funny. And so he did my post-race massage and stretch, and he gave me a card for 20% off my first session with him. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do body work again. I had a wonderful energy healer. I had a good massage therapist, but I just didn't know. And I went to his website, and there was something there called assisted table stretching, and I said, oh, wow, I have been looking for 3 years for somebody to help me stretch. So, at the Charles River Run 5K, I said, oh, are you going to do Lex's run? I have no idea why I said that. And he said, oh, yeah, Doug had talked to me about that. So I got them connected so that he was doing pre- and post-race stretches and massage for Lex's run, and his tips he was donating to muscular dystrophy. So that's the background.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's just crazy.
Very much.
So
it's meant to be, as they say, meant to be.
Meant to be, without a doubt. So the registration for Lex's run was not going that well, and so I got involved with Doug on the social media. And, you know, the incredible thing is that when I was growing up, I used to watch the muscular dystrophy telethon every single weekend, like from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I identified with Jerry's kids, but not really on a conscious level, but on some level, again, I was just sort of drawn to it. And, of course, when he sings You'll Never Walk Alone, I go into a puddle. And so I got drawn into this whole thing, and we were tweeting and Facebooking, and then I started meeting other people who were going to be at the race. So Sunday, everyone who had tweeted, we started meeting in person, and you, my dear friends, know what that feels like, huh?
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, I just remember the whole prayer blog and all the adventures of you two meeting. It's incredible.
Well, it makes it all real, you know? It's like, yeah, it's like you know these people. And you, like you say, you had made friends with this guy. But to actually see him face to face, it just, as Kate says, adds another dimension to the relationship. And it does, you know? And you know them well. And that's the thing I couldn't explain to anybody when Kate was coming down, you know, they'd say, my gosh, you don't know her. I said, well, I do. I know her quite well. Like, my friends, you know, they said, how are you doing this? You know, what if y'all don't like each other? I said, you know, we like each other fine online. I think we'll do just fine. But people who are not online don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people who are not online on a regular basis like we all are, they don't understand that you're communicating and you're writing. My goodness, Whitey Adams and I got to know each other writing letters, you know, 50 years ago. You know, it's just a bit more public than it was in those days. But, yeah, you know, it's the same thing
like
as having a pen pal. Huh?
Yeah, pen pals, yes. And it was like the trapper. People said to me, how can you let your daughter go down and stay with somebody you haven't met? I said, I know him.
I just
know him. I know it's fine.
Right.
And, you know, now we're all, you know, we're just all part of this amazing circle and just great friends. And, yeah, so Sunday when, you know, we started going up to one another, and it's like, I love the monikers, too. I mean, it's, you know, Mrs. Nitzvo was there, and Luau, and just Adam Nine, and at Wicked Physics, and so we all met. And then Eric had to set up at the finish line, because the starting line and the finish line were far apart. So he said, well, come on down. He said, I want to stretch you before the run. And he did this yoga pose while I was on the table. And when I first started working with Eric, my left hip did not have the flexibility to go all the way out on the table and lay flat. And now it does. So he was able to open up and do this yoga pose. And so I had this wonderful stretch. I felt so light. I felt fantastic, and I'd never had this before. I ran before. And then we went up, and we met everybody. And Doug and his wife, Lex, she just had a baby 2 weeks ago. She was late. She had a home birth. She did, and she did homeopathic remedies to try to get Charlotte moving along, and they said it was the most wonderful experience to have not had her induced, even though I think she was 3 weeks late. So they did the run, even though she should have had the baby, like, you know, 5 weeks before. So they're 2 weeks postpartum, but the energy was like nothing I ever felt in a race before. And they did a kids' race, which was so cute. They were all running around the track, and Doug had trophies for all of them. So this was the atmosphere. And of course, we were all there for, you know, muscular dystrophy, and for Lex, and for Charlotte, and for Abby, and me for myself, because a neuromuscular, you know, thing is a neuromuscular thing. So I was looking around, and I was hoping that I'd be there were only 70 runners only, which was pretty fantastic, because he was hoping for 100. But I was looking around, and there didn't look like there was anybody else in my age group, and I've never finished first in any athletic endeavor in my life. So, but, you know, that didn't even matter, because just the sense of camaraderie. And, oh, and I met Chris Russell, who I had met on justfinish.com, and he had interviewed me before my marathon run, and we had never met in person. And he actually came a little late. And as soon as we saw each other, we knew it was each other, and he met my husband. And, of course, they're all talking about, you know, I think I'll do a 7-minute mile and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, well, we're walking to the back. I'll see you at the finish line. And, you know, this really speaks to, like, what you were saying, Kate, about, you know, who cares if you can't do the, you know, the Thriller dance exactly like Michael. In your mind's eye, you're, you know, you're doing it.
Yeah, that's right. And it's all, it goes its own pace. I mean, everybody has their own pace, and there's no sense in the world to think that you should compare yourself to anybody.
And, you know, Kate, I will admit that up until this road race, I was dealing with those feelings of, I mean, keep in mind, too, I was a little girl. I had a full leg brace on, and, you know, kids weren't going to wait up for me. And I always had this feeling of having to catch up. And it was very hard. And the magic of Sunday was, having had the pre-race stretch and massage was incredible, because I felt anchored in my own body. I felt really connected and at home. And that speaks to the work that Eric does. He's an intuitive healer, and I mean, he's so gifted. It's just incredible. And so the fact that I felt that way, you know, when the gun went off, so to speak, And then my husband is just amazing. He said, I'm going to push you. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to do under a 15-minute mile today. And, again, in my mind's eye, I was going for a 13-minute mile, which I've never done, but I figured I can imagine it. But we took off, and he said, you know, don't worry about your heart rate. He said, we know it's going to be high because you're pushing yourself. And, of course, the pack, the front pack, they take off, and you don't see them again until the finish line. And I, for the first time, did not care about that. I was out there really for the first time to run my own race and to feel like a runner, to feel like a winner, to feel good in my own body. And I got to tell you guys, it was unbelievable. And, of course, Doug was around the course before we left the immediate park, and he said, yep, you're going the right way, looking strong. You just got to go up that hill. And even the most seasoned runners said that that was a really tough course because it has this incredible hill in it. And so I knew I had to power walk it. I knew I wasn't going to run it, but I knew I could do a good pace at a power walk. And Tom and I were just like, he just kept saying, I can't believe how well you're doing. And the first mile we did, like a 13-minute mile. Mm-hmm. Did you sneeze?
Oh, no, Yuli is barking.
That's Yuli?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yuli in person.
Hi, Yuli. How are you?
Yuli. Go ahead.
My goodness. Wow.
Handsome. Very handsome.
Ah, oh, that is amazing. So we just,
he says hi to you too.
Oh, thank you, Yuli. I can't wait to meet you.
Oh, he'll love it, and I will too.
I know. We know it's happening. We just know it is. so we were just pouring it on, and my heart rate was, I mean, I don't need a cardiac stress test. I had it. And I passed with flying colors. I mean, it was up to 167, which that's like so far out of my range. It was incredible. But I was able to get my breathing down. I was able to find a rhythm and finished really strong and ended up doing a personal best for me, which I'd never done on a 5K before. It was my fastest time ever. And I'd done several 5Ks. But the thing was the feeling, like, everybody was, you know, high-fiving as we were coming to the finish. And it was just unbelievable. And then they had an award ceremony, and they thought that there was a woman who was in the 50 to 59, but actually the results got messed up, which they were supposed to, because what happened was after Doug announced the winners in each category, he said, and Mary McManus, come up here. And he said, this woman is a winner every time she goes out on the roads.
Wow.
And he told my story, and he told about how I inspired him when he was really having a tough time training. And, you know, his wife was there, and we all hugged, and it was unbelievable. And so he said, so go take something off the table, because he had all these prizes that were donated for the winners and everything. And it was just unbelievable. And then he said, let's give a round of applause. And I was so moved. I, you know, it was just unbelievable that here I was, that I felt like a winner. And then Doug just said to me, you are a winner for, you know, just your courage and everything that you've done. And it was one of those incredibly magical moments. And Eric was doing the post-race massages, and so he said, where are you hurting? And I said, my glutes, my butt muscles, because there were several hills. And it was amazing that he just you know, he worked it out. I mean, I sort of felt like Rocky, you know, how they have somebody there sort of working on him and getting the stuff out. And it was, you know, it was just such a blessing. And actually, Doug and Lexi, Doug worked with Eric during his marathon training. And Eric's worked with, he's done these pre- and post-race massages. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He studied in Thailand. He studied Thai body work in Thailand. And, you know, I'm so blessed how these people come into my life. And then I'm transforming even more when I didn't think it was possible. So it's just been amazing.
Yes, when you get into evolution of your spirit, there is no ending to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said something about being held back all your childhood life by that feeling of not being able to keep up. Not being able to keep up. And that's something I think that would be a common theme among many people. But, you know, that whole thing of being overwhelmed. People feel like they have too much to do. And I think not being able to keep up is another excuse that people have. It's just an excuse for not living your full life or living your life fully.
Yes, Kate. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I keep thinking about the kids, too. The whole thing about teasing, and kids are, I mean, I don't think there's anything meaner than a fifth-grade girl. And fifth-grade girls are just mean, you know. Thankfully, we outgrow that, maybe. But,
yeah.
You know,
some girls don't, I'm afraid.
Right. But that fifth-grade thing of writing slam books and telling everybody what's wrong with them and all that stuff. It just always, it bothered me when I was little, and it bothered me with my daughter, too. It's like, y'all be nice to each other. But I think with a child that has a problem of some kind, then they're even worse. I used to show a little film when I worked for March of Dimes, and I just wrote to them last week, and it is no longer available. The folks don't call. But it was called We're All the Same Inside.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most beautiful movies I have ever seen. But I think we're not doing a good job with our children on that. I don't think. The other thing, and I'm going to get off on my own little bandbox here, but is this thing of everybody having to look alike. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't like him, he's fat. Oh, I don't like him, he's skinny. Oh, I don't, you know, all that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I gave a little lecture to one of the grands last week on that. It's like, hey, come on. You know,
right.
People in this world are all kinds and shapes and sizes. And I think there's a danger in our society right now where we're supposed to look and be a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's almost a disease. Did you see the movie The Stepford Wives?
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of a lot of times. I think, my gosh, y'all get off of this stuff. You're becoming like the Stepford Wives, you know. You've got your little house and you're all neat and blah, blah, blah. It's like, come on. Let's get real. You know,
well,
everybody.
You know. No, go ahead.
Everybody. Kate. I just was going to say, everybody thinks they have to be like everybody else.
Yeah. Is it worse now, or is it just that I see it more clearly?
I don't know if I even see it anymore, just because of the journey we're all on. We are all on.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see it.
I don't think I do.
Okay.
I mean, I think it exists. For sure, but it seems to not to be in my reality anymore, just because I guess of what we're all doing here online, here on these radio shows, and the Spiritual Retreat Center has sort of catapulted me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, I just feel like I see so much of it, and it's it not only offends me, I think it's frightening.
Yeah.
That people are forgetting how to be real.
Go
ahead.
No,
talk.
You know what, Joan? What you're and maybe that's why what happened on Sunday at Lex's Run was so phenomenal. Because we had runners, and actually at Luau, Matt did a blog post about it. And we had ultra runners. Chris does 100 miles. Luau is that was his first 5K. He always did long distances. We had Adam, who is blogging about the fact that he had lost a lot of weight, then he put it all back on, then now he really wants to stay healthy and fit and is back into running. Lex would have run if she were not 2 weeks postpartum, and she's actually going to be training for the half marathon in Hyannis in February, and as soon as they give her the go-ahead that she can run again. And, you know, we had the back of the Packers. There were people who finished behind me, and it didn't matter.
No.
We were all there,
fabulous.
You know, skinny, heavy, everything in between. It did not matter 1 inch what anybody looked like, whether you looked like a runner, whether you didn't look like a runner. And if you look at the photos from the event, I mean, you know, everyone is just radiating their who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's my whole, I'm just such a nut about the authentic life stuff. But, yeah, to be real.
Yeah.
And not feel like you don't, the not measuring up thing. See, that's what we're feeding. When we do that, we're feeding that you don't measure up stuff.
That's
when you
right.
get to be like me, then you'll be okay. That whole, mindset, which offends me all over the place.
Like the Velveteen Rabbit, right? Being yourself.
Yeah. Being real. You know, it's all
being
that,
real.
Being real.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I think
go ahead, Joan.
I'm just saying, I think that's my speech for my lifetime, is that whole being real thing.
So important. Like, you had on the Cat in the Hat when you met Kate at the airport. said, right on, girlfriend. That was so wonderful. And everyone who's listening, you know, I don't believe in shoulds, but this is something you should do, is www.praytoheal.com. And you can see the pictures we're talking about and everything. But, I mean, that's the way I start my day. I told you, Kate, it's the breakfast of champions, and I fuel myself. And it's such a blessing to gather there and start the day that way, because it's talking about, you know, well, it's such a range of topics from Warren Beatty.
Oh, my gosh. Could you believe that? I was thinking, I don't know whether I should really go ahead with this one.
I'm so glad you did. So, listeners, you have to go there to know what we're talking about. But, I mean, it's a place for expansion. It's a place for growth. And but, you know, you did that. You wore that to the airport. You wore it to the airport, right, Joan?
Yes.
Yes. She had to be able to find me. How would she not recognize me? I had to get some attention. And I got a lot of attention. You know. Crazy old grandma running around in the Dr. Seuss hat. But
yeah,
I was recognizable.
Was
it was fun. It was fun and it was funny. And you know what? People that were there remember it, but Emily Post wasn't there. My mama used to say, Emily ain't coming, you know. Emily ain't invited. Well, Emily was not invited that day. We didn't have Emily Post, but we were recognizable. But I did get a lot of looks, you know. People were looking.
And
I would forget I had it on. Huh?
And you know what's funny? Like, Kate, you just posted about the post 9/11 world on the 9/11. And, you know, I was thinking that people, you can get into a state of lockdown, and it's not only, you know, if you're somewhere where there's a threat. We can be in a state of lockdown in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was. I was in a state of lockdown. I was in a state of fear, immobilization, and it manifested as post-polio. It could have manifested as anything. I just happened to have polio as a child, and so it manifested as post-polio syndrome. But we can really lock ourselves down with fear and with thoughts of limitation. And speaking of poetry in motion, there's a poem that I wrote called Courage, which really speaks to that, which I'd love to share with you because...
Oh, please do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the transformation from being in a state of lockdown to what happens when you transcend that and you open your heart and you open your mind and your spirit. So this I wrote on January 5th of 2009. And again, all these poems are right there on marymcmanus.com, along with my two books of inspirational poetry that I'm so proud of myself. My husband uploaded it on the homepage, and then I figured out how to upload it on a few of the other pages. So the PayPal. So this is Courage. The fear of ice and snow and slush embedded in my soul. A training run in winter, the path to being whole. A winter scene, Jamaica Pond, a feast for eyes' delight. To witness nature's splendor and behold this glorious sight. A leaf, a tiny dancer, skating free without a sound. God's breath directs her movements as she guides her twirling round. Families of ducks decide to walk or take a dip. A comedy of errors into icy water slip. The branches now bejeweled with ice bend with loving grace. Sparkling diamonds anchor water's surface hold in place. God's hand a glove of glistening snow hugs rocks along the wall. Their heads peek out reminding me I'm answering God's call. A scene I'd never witness if I let my fear take hold. Courage triumphed, stepping out with footsteps sure and bold. Knowing that the pain subsides and spirit can prevail, the marathon is beckoning. Through those miles, I shall sail.
Mm. Wow.
Love it.
Thank you.
You do write so beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
You really do.
It's such a gift.
It is.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It absolutely
yeah.
is. And I'm so grateful because as I was going through the training, I would write these, and then that would help to fuel my journey as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, yeah. You do it for, like, the prayer blog is called Pray to Heal. You could just say poetry to heal, the same thing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Bernie Siegel, you know his
yeah.
work, don't you, Kate?
Yeah.
And you do, too.
Yeah, oh,
yes. Yeah.
And you know him personally, don't you?
I do. And he interviewed me on his show, and then he sent the show to the editor at Rosenberry Books, and he said, I want to do a series of books so that others can heal the way Mary healed by using poetry. And
Oh. So
these are actually the first one is out where Bernie has his poems. And then he cues the person who's reading the book, and then there's a blank journal page for them to write a poem.
Oh. Isn't that neat?
Isn't that incredible?
Ooh.
Isn't
yeah.
that incredible? And then there's going to be one book, Bernie and Friends, and I submitted a lot of the marathon poems and then some other poems. That's going to be in the works as well, and some of his other friends are going to be submitting poetry that helped them to heal. I know I think it's in Love, Medicine, and Miracles, there's a poem that a woman wrote about her mastectomy, and she put it in terms of pruning, and she talked about the scars and that are on her body and everything, but it transforms the whole thing. And oh, gosh, I have a poem from Set Sail that I've got to read. Okay. Since we're all poetry in motion here, here we go. It's called Beneath the Surface, and I actually, this was inspired by a woman. Do you guys know Evie McDonald, or have you heard about her?
No. Maybe you brought her up on one of the shows.
Did I might have. Well, I learned about her through Bernie, and she was diagnosed with ALS.
You brought her up with Leonard Lasko, who actually knew her. That's what it was.
He knew
or
her?
Knew of her. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, well, she looked in the mirror, and her body was basically a bowl of Jell-O, and she decided that she wasn't going to die hating herself. And so she started looking in the mirror, and she started finding things to love about herself, and then actually was able to heal herself from the Lou Gehrig's disease and is now a minister in upstate New York. Well, this poem was inspired by her and her journey, and it's called Beneath the Surface. And, you know, for those who are listening, I've had probably upwards of 25 surgeries of one kind or another. And so I have a lot of scars. And part of this whole transformational healing journey has been to learn how to love my body. And so this is called Beneath the Surface. Looking in the mirror, the white caps may seem rough. With God to guide me through the waves, my journey's never tough. Looking in the mirror, what exactly do I see? To start, I see a 10-inch scar from thigh down to the knee. Sometimes swollen ankles or dark circles neath my eyes. Another scar 6 inches round my shoulder where it lies. A scar across my belly and another on my breast. Scars only on the surface. In my essence, I'm God's best. Thanking God for all the surgeons who took great care of me, I've now learned beyond the scars there's so much more to see. Feeling love and gratitude down deep inside my core, the blessings and the healings that transcend what went before. To cherish every part of me, to honor God within, to go beyond appearances, drown out commercial din. My body is the casing, real trophies deep inside. No surgeon's scalpel can touch. No longer must I hide. Thankful for the way I am, no other's life is mine. I feel the glow and sparkle. Now's my time to shine. With God, the power of pure love transforms the way things are. Despite whatever went before, I'm God's shining star. With God strong in my center, such love to life I bring. My heart and mind and spirit can transform anything.
Oh, wow. Love it.
You know what I immediately thought about, and Kate, I think you've read it, but Mary, if you haven't, read Time is a River.
I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, make a note, read Time is a River, Mary Alice Monroe.
Okay.
I love that book, and you know, sometimes I think we just read a book and it just hits us at the right place, and maybe another time it wouldn't have hit me so, but it's the story of a woman after her mastectomy. And I haven't had one, but the experience, her healing experience and her standing in the middle of that river and identifying with the river and all of that, just, it just touched me so. Go ahead, Kate. I'm anxious to hear what you're saying.
It's just really well written. I'm glad you reminded me because I got to the middle of it. I'm the kind of person that when I really, really love a book, I don't want to finish it. I need to get back to that book. That's a great book.
Yes. It's the story of her healing and emotionally and what she did. And, you know, if you're 25 years old or so, you'll read it as a romance. It wasn't that to me. It was really a very, I made friends with her, and like Kate said, I didn't want to finish. I didn't want Mia to go away. I wanted her to be my friend forever. You know, it's that kind of book.
Wow.
But I wanted to sit down and have a cup of coffee with her. You know, it was that. It was, oh my gosh, how can I meet this woman? And of course, she's a fiction character. But that kind of a feeling. But as she was telling her healing story, I ended up not purposefully, but going through my own journey you know, looking at my own story.
Wow.
It was really quite an experience. Anyway, that's what your poem reminded me of.
Time is a river.
Time is a river, and you will enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah, because, the thing is that when we hear about others' healing, other people's healing journey, then it helps our own. You know,
yeah.
We just keep growing and we just keep healing in new ways and on deeper levels.
And we're all on that healing journey, regardless of what the disease, what's that book, None of These Diseases. But, regardless of what the disease is or is not, we're all in that healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure. It's a constant. And,
Yeah, people may not know that they are,
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about, and you've heard me say this before too, Kate, and I apologize for repeating myself, but one of the things I always told my children was everybody has a story. You don't criticize somebody because you don't know where they've been. You don't know their story, so back off. And Kathy had been away at school, come home and worked, and went back to school, college, growing up, and she ended up a little social worker, or a social work major. But she walked in one day after a class, and she said, "Mom, you were right. Everybody has a story." And I thought, my goodness. How long? But she had been, they had had a type of a workshop in one of her classes, and everybody went around the room and told their story,
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, she was surprised at some of the stories. But it finally, it got through. Finally, she said, "Everybody's got a story." And that's so true,
Now the next level, though, beyond that is we need to drop our stories after a while.
True.
And, it's like it's great to honor people's stories, but a lot of times stories are used to remain as a victim.
Right.
And, the storyline can get into the way because it can get in the way of truly experiencing life, I think.
Absolutely. Well, but you don't get there. And I had a friend here the other night. We were talking about our parents and life and stuff. And she said, you never grow up until you forgive your parents. And I think that's a good line. Because we all have those stories too, and my parents were wonderful, but I do have little slots of mad at them here, there, and yonder that I have to constantly work on. But everybody else does too. I think that's my whole point, is we all think we're such, as you say, victims. And we do have to go through that healing process. We can't just shut the door. We have to go through the healing process in order to be whole.
And I think another thing about recognizing stories, though, the value in it, is that you realize that there aren't any new stories.
Right.
They're so all common. The commonality runs through life, the whole experience of living.
It's the beginning of time.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because we spend so much time hiding from our stories. And so it's a matter of acknowledging our stories, sharing our stories, and then moving beyond them, if you will, to really shine, to live a full, fulfilling, awakened life, and to live in the moment and to cherish the moment and to, open ourselves to just the wonderful tapestry of experiences that are there for all of us.
You read Tut, don't you, Mary?
I'm sorry?
I know Kate does. Tut?
Yes.
You read Tut?
No.
Okay. I'm looking for something to tell you. Tut said yesterday that I loved. So let me see if I can get my handle on it real quick.
Okay.
He's great.
He is wonderful. But,
T-U-T?
T-U-T, Tut. I think it's just tut.com.
Oh, okay.
But there was one yesterday, and basically the crux of it was It would be so nice if I could find it. But anyway, was basically, what would the world be like if you weren't afraid? It would be just the same. Or what would the world be like if you weren't worried? It would be just the same. It's always got a little bit of humor in it.
Uh-huh.
But that's true. You know, without our story, what would the world be? Just about the same. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just looking and looking and can't find it, so I'm not supposed to find it, obviously.
Okay.
But it fascinated me that, you know, that even if we let go of our fear and we let go of our worries, the world is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do know nothing worthwhile. Here we go. If suddenly and without warning you had absolutely nothing to worry about, do you know what the world would begin to look like? Exactly the same it does right now. And if suddenly you had absolutely nothing to be afraid of, do you know what you'd begin to look like right now? Cool as ever. If suddenly you had absolutely no expectations to live up to and no one to disappoint, do you know how free you'd suddenly be? Yep, the same. The only thing that would really change is your thoughts, and you don't need circumstances or other people to help you with that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
He comes up with some. I look forward to his emails.
I do too. Right. I have a. Yeah, you'll love him. Oh my gosh, he's wonderful.
All right, tut.com. I'll check that out. And time is a river. And
yeah. We loaded you
I
up.
I love it. I love how we come up with all these wonderful things. And you know, Yuli was barking. And
yeah.
So I was meditating before the show, and I was wondering if we should take a couple of minutes just to acknowledge the passing of Alex the Cat Dude.
Yes, please.
And so I was, you know, I said, well, it didn't feel right. And then when Yuli started barking, I felt as though he was telling me that we do need to take a minute and acknowledge that our beloved Alex is now an angel. And he used to, during Moon Moo and You, he used to come into the chat room. And
yeah.
He would lie on the keyboard and he would actually start typing and sending messages in his own little way. And he went very fast, very suddenly. We miss him, but his presence is very much here. And I thought, since we are poetry in motion, that I would like to read my tribute to Alex the Cat Dude. And everybody,
please,
on April
yeah.
19th, Kate wrote a beautiful prayer blog about Alex. And so he is immemorialized. He's whatever. He will live on at both
yeah.
in Kate's prayer blog and in this poem. A permanent toddler, a diva the king, for 2.5 years, what joy you would bring. A mind of your own, you'd meow to have your own way. Having you here was a central part of our day. You spoke like a human to let your needs known. From a precious little kitten into a hunter you'd grown. Chipmunks and squirrels were no match for you. You lived life with passion in all that you do. Chasing and hopping, inviting the chase, a survivor who thrived in wide open space. Curled up in a ball, such sweetness and peace, a referee for our fights, you taught fighting must cease. What wisdom reflected in your eyes as you'd glare. Our lives have been blessed, thanks for all of your care. A mechanic, a climber, at the window you'd sit, guarding the house, you were a cat dude with grit. So full of life and a need to be free, a life for you as a patient we just couldn't see. You knew it was time, you let go with such grace, we'll always remember that long white whiskered face. We'll look for the messages, the signs you will send, farewell and God bless to our fine four-legged friend.
Oh. That's wonderful.
Aww.
Just wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, what a good little guy.
He was hard. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, they are so much with us even in passing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I found a piece of tree bark in the middle of my living room. How else did it get here? If I would have dragged it in on my shoe, I would have felt it. And he loved this tree outside, and it was his favorite scratching post. And his spirit, his presence, it's here and will always be with us. And, you know, I was surprised at how attached, how much a part of our lives our animal companions become. It's really phenomenal, and they bring us so much joy. And there's the sorrow when they pass, but it's all a part of life. It's all a part of the experience. So,
well, and they're a gift.
Thank you for letting me share that.
They are a gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they don't live that long. That's the amazing
mm-hmm.
thing. But then in the end, neither does anybody else. So it's all temporary.
Well, they teach us that childhood.
Yeah, it's a good learning experience, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's how children learn about death.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. Absolutely. And just as Alex has been a blessing, you guys are just so amazing, and I'm just so grateful and so blessed to have you a part of my life, and look forward to the day when we meet in real life. But
oh, that's coming.
It is, but for now, it's just always great to gather around the old Blog Talk Radio. And
yeah, it's great.
Hour.
As usual, it is tremendous. We appreciate your being here with us so much. And I really appreciate you reading that prayer blog, too. That really means a lot to me, so thank you for that.
Oh.
And you too, Joan.
I appreciate it. It's kind of like a little morning club over there.
Yeah, it's our coffee club.
It is a little coffee club. What day are you on? Okay.
Let's see. The 360th day would be the first, or maybe the end of October, the 31st of October.
Wow. You're almost
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Hey. And then so I'm going to cut out the weekends just and just do 5 days a week because
yeah.
I think people mostly kind of do other things on the weekend. I noticed the traffic is down on the weekends. So I'm just going to keep doing the five-day thing after the 1st of November and enjoy every – it's hard for me to do it on the weekends because I work. So I come home and
5 days a week is a much – a mighty plenty on a blog. I think 7 days a week is amazing.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but we'll have to celebrate on
yeah.
that one.
Yeah, I've got to think about that, though. How do you celebrate 365 days of blog?
I haven't missed one day. That's pretty cool.
You really
that
haven't.
That is
it's fabulous. It's
yeah.
absolutely fabulous. I hope you're proud.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fun. It's fun because you never know what's going to happen. People think you can't come up with anything after a while, but when you start writing about Warren Beatty, you know that the well is endless.
Okay, all right. So what's that? You don't know the date, but it's toward the end of October.
The October 31st will be 365 days.
Okay, Halloween day.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Is that weird? That's kind of weird. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you started it November 1st, All Saints Day.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Oh, it's fun. Really, it's like we'll have to break out into the thriller dance.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's...
Oh,
if you don't have the video before then, I think that's the perfect day for the video.
Yeah, that's the release date for the thriller video. Absolutely, I love it. Yeah, October 31st, that's
yeah.
it.
That'll
be the way
we got
to celebrate.
It.
Yeah, yeah. But I so appreciate the prayer blog and just all the wonderful, everything that I'm learning and opening and sharing. And I know, you know, that I bring my heart to the prayer blog and get to write my insights. And it's just a wonderful synergy. And it's just so wonderful to appreciate it and all the people who gather there. It's really a mystical, sacred space that you've created, Kate.
Well, thank you, and I think it's helping to create new grooves in our brain of thinking. Like, I like last night we had a our car is in the garage and the guy was saying it's going to cost $1,500 to $2,000 to fix it. And so I automatically just said to myself, well, I'm going to pray to the angels for an answer. And today we got the word that somebody's actually giving us a Cherokee Jeep.
I love it.
That is so cool. And see, the thing is, before writing the prayer blog, I would stay in a sort of state of fear and not resonate with a state of faith. And I would not call on the unseen forces. But now it's a habit. Mm-hmm. And so that's the beauty of writing these prayers and having people participate, is that I think it's creating new grooves of habits. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it happened pretty quickly. And, I mean, this Cherokee's Jeep came up within 24 hours of the prayer of,
wow,
you know, please, I'm praying for a miracle here.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was.
That's
That'll
fabulous.
Be fun.
Yeah. Well, you need
okay.
the Jeep probably for your
yes.
workshops, Kate.
What's that?
You need
the Jeep for your workshop.
Yeah,
we can pick people up, and it's a kind of car where there's parts for it. We have a Saab, and the thing about the clutch and the other problems with it, it's very hard to get parts for this car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great car, but it's something that maybe in the future I won't get another Saab, because it's really not that easy to fix if it breaks down. So, but a Jeep, on the other hand, even though it gobbles up the gas, which, you know, that's a worry too, but it's easy to fix, and people routinely know how to fix them, and it's a user-friendly kind of situation if something goes wrong with it, so. And I do believe it's an American-made car, isn't it?
A Jeep?
Cherokee Jeep.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, you know? So at all levels, I like it. It's great.
And all because you called on the angels and said, I need some help here.
Yeah.
That's all. That's it.
And that's what, you know, and rather than cramping down in a state of fear, in that lockdown state, we can open up, and it's amazing what comes in.
I know. I was so happy. And it was just a wonderful experience.
mm-hmm.
It's there for all of us, that's for sure.
Yes, and that's, you know, that's, oh my goodness, I know we have to sign off, but that's, the messages in my poetry is that this is here for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's important to remember that. We all have this power within us. It's not restricted to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not your talent and not mine, and nobody has to compare each other to anybody else. I mean, your talent is your talent. And nobody has to mimic it. They can find their own talents.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Full circle to what we started talking about, which is, you know,
yeah,
it's not about catching up, comparing and everything. It's about embracing and celebrating each of our unique gifts.
Yes.
Yes and yes. I think that's the whole theme of tonight. That's where it's come from. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, both of you.
Thank
I love
you.
It. And
thank you.
It's been a joy. It's a joy. And here comes the music for Mother and Child by C.D. Jensen. And you can buy his music on my prayer blog, www.praytoheal.com. I love you both.
I love you.
Love
amen.
You. Good
Thank
night.
You, listeners.
Fabulous.
Thank you,
Thank you
everybody.
Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.